ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय। नष्टप्रायेषु अवत्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। टुडे वी कंटिन्यू टू रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text 28. Tvam Re Bhavani Asiyata Vagramapatim Vichinvati भवानी असि अथवा रमा रामपतिम विचिन्वति किं मुनिवत् रहो वने त्वदङ्गिकामाप्त समस्त कामा क्वपादकोशः पतितः खराग्रा भवानी असि अथवा रमापतिम विचिन्वति किं मुनिवत् रहो वने त्वदङ्गिकामाप्त समस्त कामा क्व पद्मकोशः पतितः कराग्रा भवानी असि अथवा रमापतिम विचिन्वति किं मुनिवत् रहो वने त्वदङ्गिकामाप्त समस्त कामा क्व पद्मकोश पतित कराग्रा Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, Asi, Ata, rather, Vak, Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Rama, the goddess of fortune, Patim, husband, Vichinvati, searching after, thinking of, Kim, are you? Univat, like a sage, Rahaho, in this lonely place, Vane, in the forest, Vadambri, your feet, Kama, deciding, after achieved, Samasta, all, Kamam, desirable things, Kwa, where is, Padmakoshaha, the lotus flower, Patitaha, fallen, Kara, of the hand, Agara,
from the front portion,
or palm. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear beautiful girl, you are exactly like the goddess of fortune, or the wife of Lord Shiva, or the goddess of learning, the wife of Lord Brahma. Although you must be one of them, I see that you are loitering in this forest. Indeed, you are as silent as the great sages. Is it that you are searching after your own husband? Whoever your husband may be, simply by understanding that you are so faithful to him, he will come to possess all opulences. I think you must be the goddess of fortune, but I do not see the lotus flower in your hand. Therefore, I am asking you where you have thrown that lotus. Purport. Everyone thinks that his intelligence is perfect. Sometimes one employs his intelligence in the worship of Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, in order to obtain a beautiful wife. Sometimes when one wants to become as learned as Lord Brahma, he employs his intelligence in the worship of the goddess of learning, Saraswati. Sometimes when one wishes to become as opulent as Lord Vishnu, he worships the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. In this verse, all these inquiries are made by King Puranjana, the living entity, who is bewildered and does not know how to employ his intelligence. Intelligence should be employed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as one uses his intelligence in this way, the goddess of fortune automatically becomes favorable to him. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, never remains without her husband, Lord Vishnu. Consequently, when one worships Lord Vishnu, he automatically obtains the favor of the goddess of fortune. One should not, like Ravana, worship the goddess of fortune alone, for she cannot remain long without her husband. Thus, her other name is Chanchala or Restless. In this verse, it is clear that Puranjana is representing our intelligence while he is talking with the girl. He not only appreciated the shyness of the girl, but actually became more and more attracted by that shyness. He was actually thinking of becoming her husband and consequently was asking her whether she was thinking of her prospective husband or whether she was married. This is an example of Bhoga Iccha, the desire for enjoyment. One who is attracted by such desires becomes conditioned in this material world, and one who is not so attracted attains liberation. King Puranjana was appreciating the beauty of the girl as if she were the goddess of fortune, but at the same time he was careful to understand that the goddess of fortune cannot be enjoyed by anyone except Lord Vishnu. Since he doubted whether the girl was a goddess of fortune, he inquired about the lotus flower she was not holding. The material world is also the goddess of fortune, because the material energy works under the direction of Lord Vishnu, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. The material world cannot be enjoyed by any living entity. If one so desires to enjoy it, he immediately becomes a demon like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, or Kamsa. Because Ravana wanted to enjoy the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, he was vanquished with all his family, wealth and opulence. One can, however, enjoy that Maya bestowed upon the living entity by Lord Vishnu. The satisfaction of one's senses and desires means enjoying Maya, not the goddess of fortune. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swayapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shrita Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhambitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gagpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare I am born in the darkness of ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So, pay our respects to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, by reciting His Pranam Mantra, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya, Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Iti Namini, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pracharini, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschatya, Deshatarini. This crucial step of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the first item of the devotional service. As we know, there are 64 items, and this one step opens the door for the rest of the items. And through His teachings, the spiritual master tells who we are, who we are not, who the Lord is, who is the actual source of everything, what is material nature, how is it made up of, how the three modes are acting upon us. And then He also imparts this crucial wisdom of the yoga of devotion, which is bhakti. Bhakti is translated as a devotional service. It's not just devotion, it's not just service. So in the process of doing devotional service, one, under the guidance of the spiritual master, engages the material energy in the service of the Lord. We are not going to reject everything. Okay, this is material, can't be used, this is material, can't be used, this is material, can't be used, neti, neti, neti. We are not followers of that. We are under the guidance of the Goswamis and under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, we are given this unique concept of yukta vairagya. What does that mean? Using everything in Krishna's service. Because the spiritual master tells you who you are, who Krishna is, what material energy is, how is it made up of, and He gives you the process of linking everything in the service of the Lord. Just like we were discussing about the aspect of worship, where a formal arati is offered. So what are the items that gets offered when arati is going on? What does the pujari come and do? When the arati is about to begin, what does he do? Close the foundation. What's the purpose behind that? To bring auspiciousness. Good. Then, what are the list of items that gets offered to the Lord?
Incense.
What does incense represent? Why are we offering incense?
For the element air.
Okay. Is that the only
fragrance?
Okay. So good. Then what's the next item? Lamb. So why is ghee lamb? Why are the ghee wicks pointed up? Any reason for that, or it's just a coincidence? Why? To serve Lord Krishna? What was that I missed in the between? You're trying to serve Krishna. Very good.
Offering
fire. Yes. Okay. Fire element is getting offered. And the progression is up. Okay. What's the next element that gets offered? After deep, so deep comes out and we take. Okay, after that, what the pujari does?
Water,
the Agya water. So Agya water many times is confused as we're bathing the Lord. Is that the actual reason why we offer Agya? Those who do pujari service can explain what is the significance of Agya. Are we actually bathing the Lord at that time, or
offering the water element to the Lord? Bathing is done in private.
Okay, bathing is done in private, so then the offering is done. So we are welcoming the Lord, so that's why the arati, the whole arati process is there. So to welcome personalities, if you go to a marriage ceremony or any other place, so then you are welcomed by sprinkling rose water or scented water. This is very common. Alright, so yeah, and then what's the next item that gets offered?
Cloth.
So what does cloth represent? Some devotees have the impression that we are bathing the Lord and we are giving him cloth to wipe himself. So that idea is not there. Cloth again represents earth, that's good. So it's coming from. Any other significance of the cloth?
Basically,
we
have received it from the Lord, so
we
are offering
it back to the Lord. Okay, all the elements are there. Okay. After that cloth, what else gets offered?
Flowers.
So then again the fragrance. Then finally, last two items.
Chamra.
What is chamra? Why are we doing that? Fan the Lord that will come next. Okay. It's summer, we use the peacock feather for fanning. Okay. What is the chamra used for? Yes, Abhay. Very good. So, it's a sign of royal opulence. Yes, yes. Kings are given such a royal way of reception. So that similarly, we have a similar kind of awe and reverence moved towards the Lord, and secondly to remove the small insects that are there, that might be there in the altar. And then finally, if it's summer, then we have the peacock feather to fan the Lord. Now, if you see in Guru Puja, exactly the same items are offered to the spiritual master, because he is the one who teaches us how these elements are related to the Lord and how they must be offered to the Lord. And because he is giving us this knowledge, as a disciple one is meant to treat the spiritual master as good as God. So
we worship the Lord and then we worship the spiritual master as well with all these elements, because he is one who is giving us this concept of using every element. Take those elements, and because he is teaching the devotional service, which means not just service. Like we were just having a discussion that the clock here got automated, so then soon the bell will also get automated, and soon the arati process also could get automated. And to some extent, it's a sad fact that in big temples in South India, where there's no one to play the drum, they have automated it. So Pujari goes, before he goes out, he turns around and then the drum starts to play by itself, and then he goes and offers. So if a machine is playing, or if a machine is doing the arati, what is missing in that?
Devotion.
So service is getting done, but then there is no devotion, there is no emotion. And then if we look at it the other way, a person who has got a lot of emotions, but then when asked to do some service, like normally the example is given as that of a spouse. So husband and wife are there, the husband is really good at writing poems. So out of love for his wife, he writes a lot of poems in love towards his wife. Similar thing is happening. So Puranjana is approaching a lady and asking. So then the time comes for breakfast, and the wife is saying, there's nothing in the house for me to cook for you and for me. Can you go out and get some veggies? The husband says, no. I don't want to do any service, but I still love you. I can keep writing poems for you, but I cannot do. So then what is missing is, he's showing a lot of devotion, but then there is no service involved. So that's why bhakti is translated as devotional service. Now for us to understand and to raise to the platform of devotion and devotional service, Srila Prabhupada has masterminded and he has given us various engagements. According to your own nature, you could pick up and do a variety of engagements. The primary of such engagements is the commitment to chant 16 rounds, which is the do's, and then the don'ts, which is the no meditating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. So by this, we are getting eligible to receive the spiritual mercy and then hear and understand the Lord's pastime. We were discussing about what is the meaning of the word Srila. Does anyone know what Srila means? We put the word Srila before Prabhupada. What does it mean? Yes, we discussed yesterday, if you can share.
Somebody who has the beauty and the courage to participate in the Lord's pastimes, to explain to us the Lord's pastimes.
So, La means Leela. So, Sri means beauty and the strength. One who is bestowed the beauty and the strength to describe, elaborate, and write purports and explanations on the pastimes of the Lord. So that's what Srila means. So why are we asked to go through the pastimes of the Lord? Is because by understanding the pastimes of the Lord, by engaging in that hearing process of hearing the Lord's birth, activities, and his pastimes. What's the consequence of that? what does Krishna say about a person who hears about his birth, activities and pastimes? Yeah, you remember the verse? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvadaha tyakva deham punarjanma naiti mam iti so Arjuna. So in that case, the living entity does not have to go and talk to the opposite gender, try to flatter, use all the sweet words. So by hearing the Lord's pastimes, all those desire for enjoyment kind of subsides gradually. It's a gradual process. By the definition of God, He is inferior to nobody, no one is equal to Him or above Him. And He can, whatever He desires, it comes true. He does not even have to put a lot of effort and endeavor in that. He has the potency whereby whatever He desires, it comes true. And He is always satisfied. He does not have too much of hankering. And He cannot be put under the control of anything or any person, because He is beyond this material world, and nothing material can actually control Him. He is completely cognizant and He is full of knowledge and He is full of bliss. But on this particular day, all the definitions that we discussed about the Lord gets broken. He is Atmaram, but still He feels hunger. He is a goddess, He is the husband of the goddess of fortune, but still He is going to steal as if He is a beggar. He is supposed to be self-satisfied, but when His mother tries to feed Him, He is not satisfied by drinking the milk. And that person who cannot be caught by anyone, who can run faster than the mind and the wind, he can run faster than anyone. Such a person, on this day, he gets caught by Mother Yashoda. So, do you still want to worship such a God who lost His position as God? All the definitions are broken and He gets bound by a rope which is of this material world. He is supposed to be beyond this material world, but He gets bound by a rope which is of this material world. That's why Prabhupada describes that the devotees are so great that they can not only see the Lord, they can also engage in pastimes with the Lord and go to the extent of binding Him. And here, today is a day when that person who instills fear in Yamaraj himself exhibited fear. And he started crying. So, devotees of the Lord draw out so much of various emotions from the Lord which is not exhibited, and they make him break all the definitions of God, and they treat him as their own child, as their own lover, as their own master. So such is the sweetness of the Lord. And who is that person who is able to break all the definitions of God and even able to bind him? What did she do? In my mother tongue there is a song which describes the glory of Mother Yashoda. What kind of austerities and penances have you done, Mother Yashoda, to have that Supreme Lord who is Parabrahman, who is beyond this material world, who is the embodiment of bliss, to have him as your son and play in your courtyard? Enna tavam seidanai Yashoda engum nirai Parabrahman amma endraika. So Krishna opens his mouth and calls Yashoda as mother, amma. So what glorious activities and penances and austerities have you done, Mother Yashoda, to get this kind of a blessing where the all-pervading Parabrahman is playing in your courtyard as a small child? Now, Mother Yashoda has a lot of desire to please Krishna. And it's not only that she has desire, and in a favorable situation, she is able to employ everything in Krishna's service. To be more specific, she is feeding a special type of grass to a special set of cows. Is that the Padmaganda cows?
Yes.
Yeah. Which means she is doing service and it is full of devotion. Then the cows have to be milked. So it's not like nowadays you go and buy milk from the supermarket. So the hard work of milking the cow. And then milk does not turn into butter straight away. There is no machine that you put that it converts the milk into butter. Milk has to be turned into yogurt, and then from the yogurt the cream has to be collected, and then over collecting the creams it has to be churned. That's what the whole process, that she has not only the desire to please Krishna, but she is spiritually also intelligent, and she wants that service, and she is very possessive of that service, that she doesn't want to delegate to anyone else. She is personally doing it. So when doing this activity, the whole activity is described that when she is churning, she is not doing it out of grudging way, just cursing Krishna. See, look, I have to do all this hard labor just because my son goes and sees butter. She is not doing it in a grudging way. She is actually relishing the process by composing songs about the activities of the Lord, the various pastimes that the Lord did by killing Putana, by killing Agasura, all that she is remembering, recollecting and composing poems, and she is doing the activity of churning the butter and simultaneously reciting all those pastimes of the Lord in terms of poem. So Prabhupada explains that if one wants to remember the activities of the Lord, one should recite poems or verses glorifying the Lord. Now, if we step back and think that Mother Yashoda is now in a favorable situation where she has got access to the grass, she has got access to the cows, and she has got access to the whole paraphernalia, and she is engaging everything in the Lord's service. So the point to learn is that when we have desire and when things are favorable for us, when we are in a situation where we are put in a position to execute devotional service, when we are in a favorable situation, at that time we shouldn't come under the influence of the mind. We say, maybe I'll do it later. Maybe I don't feel like doing it. Come on. I don't want to. So that's more of the level of liking, disliking. If we are in a favorable situation and we have a desire and we are able to do what we like, at that time we shouldn't give in to the influence of the mind which naturally takes us down, but rather we should roll up our sleeves and get into action. And while doing the action, also maintain proper attitude. The attitude is something that I am working on. Not so great at it. But by reading the activities of the great devotees and by following the Guru Parampara, I am confident that one day I will be purified. So, when the situation is favorable and when you are in a position to do what you desire, so roll up your sleeves, make a plan and start and doing those activities, doing the devotional service. Because in this same Puranjana pastime, a time will come when the life force will be leaving, then the disease will be attacking. Chandavega, I think, will attack. There's a talk, attacked by Chandavega on the city of Puranjana. So then Jara, disease, all that will come. And whatever Puranjana is attached to, that will all be slowly taken away from him. So a time will come when we may be put in an unfavorable situation. So better to take advantage of the favorable situation we are in at the moment to do devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. So Mother Yashoda does not only have the desire, she has the extreme love for Krishna and she is employing everything in Krishna's service, just as this verse is saying that everything belongs to the Lord and Mother Lakshmi belongs to Lord Vishnu. And in the Purport, Prabhupada explains the material energy also belongs to Lord Vishnu. And one is meant to employ this in the Lord's service. So as the story goes on, we know that the Lord who is supposed to be Atmaram, self-satisfied, he gets hungry. How? We don't know. Inconceivable. So he forces Mother Yashoda to give milk. And that Lord who is supposed to be satisfied, again, is not satisfied in drinking the milk given by Mother Yashoda, but then when she had to put him down and run towards saving the milk which is boiling in the pot, that Lord was supposed to be satisfied with little fruit, flour, water. As he himself states in the Gita, he is not satisfied drinking the milk of Mother Yashoda. So he gets angry. So this is when we see that the Lord's various facets are revealed to us through the teachings of the Acharyas. So we are getting a glimpse of the spiritual world because the spiritual master is opening our eyes through the torchlight of knowledge. And many times when there are pictures, paintings in the temple hall, I was quite fascinated by temple, by a painting in the Sydney temple where the Brahma Vimohan Leela is painted, where the various forms of Vishnu will be coming and Krishna will be sitting in the center and he's showing, I am the ultimate Vishnu. So that picture drew my attention. Means I got attracted to that. Just to spend a bit of a time going closer and watching. How is that all happening is because these paintings are done based on the descriptions given by the Acharyas like Srila Prabhupada. So they are just very close to the Lord and we are very far from the Lord. They are just one step close to the Lord and we are many steps away from the Lord. But through their mercy, they are giving us an opportunity to get closer and closer to the Lord by hearing, by describing these pastimes. And when we hear all these pastimes, the senses, the mind and the intelligence all are employed in the Lord's service. And gradually it is becoming purified. And this is actually the science behind bhakti. One may think, what's the point reading the same pastime year after year? What's going to happen? But if you look at your own life, you don't complain saying that, oh, I've got the same wife, I got the same husband, I got the same mother, I got the same children. It's too boring. But the point is, if you serve your wife or husband or children, even in this material world, when you selflessly do that service, when you give happiness to somebody, you become happy by that. When that same principle is taken and applied, when the water is poured on the root, when the food is given to the stomach, that's what Bhagavatam describes, that all the branches get nourished. Yatataravarumula nishechanena trityantita skanda bujotvashvaka pranapahara chetendriyana tataiva sarvarhana chitteja. So what happens when we do that? So then the whole tree gets nourished, the whole body gets nourished by putting the food on the stomach. Similarly, by hearing these pastimes, and when that goes through the years, pravishta karana dandrena, when going through the years, pravishta karana dandrena, I forgot the middle verse, but dunoti shamalam krishna shalilasya yathashara. If you hear that pastimes, when the pastimes are entering through your ears, it goes and cleanses the heart. That's just like autumn rain cleanses the lake. So that is why it is crucial to hear the pastimes of the Lord and also draw lessons from it and apply in our own life. As the pastime progresses, Krishna actually cranks up his mischievousness, he cranks up his anger, and he is doing this uncommon activity of stealing, even though he is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And going and stealing in different places, as if he is a beggar, as if he does not have anything. If you look at it, he is the husband of goddess of fortune, and many, as described in this verse, wants to get the favor of the goddess of fortune, and they try to please her. And she does not stay in one place for long. And the best way to, the best spiritual economic secret is that you glorify the Lord, you please the Lord through a proper spiritual master, so then Mother Lakshmi will automatically stay, because you are glorifying the Lord and the Lord is residing, she will also reside there. So this Lord, who is a husband of the goddess of fortune, goes and steals butter as if he is a beggar. And he checks, oh, there are no security cameras around, so I can steal. But, as you know, as the pastime unfolds, Mother Yashoda, when she saw that Krishna has broken the pot and so expertly broken by throwing just one stone so that the pot does not break, just that the yogurt, the butter comes out of it, and then he's starting to steal, and he's checking as if, oh, is someone looking at me, and then he's also feeding it to the monkeys. And that's when Mother Yashoda, initially she smiles and she is internally relishing the pastime of the Lord. If you analyze carefully, as we discussed, she has to put a lot of effort to feed the grass, to the cows, milk, get the milk, convert the milk to yogurt, convert the yogurt to cream, churn, then the butter. That hard labor that she put is now getting wasted, thrown to the monkeys, thrown onto the floor. So sometimes when we are serving devotees, the same devotee who we are serving may or may not reciprocate with us in a favorable way. So, at the time we can take lessons from Mother Yashoda, where she was initially laughing at it, and as Prabhupada I was hearing a lecture by Prabhupada yesterday where he was saying, preaching is an austerity. You have to go out and preach to people who may not be very favorable. And within your devotee circle also, there are different levels of devotees who deal with you differently. So you may not get the reciprocation from them. So when Mother Yashoda saw that, she did not take a resolution that from today I won't make butter for Krishna. She never thought like that. But she wanted to make sure that Krishna is corrected so that he does not do too much of mischief. So that's when she decides that I must teach him a lesson, and if Krishna is going to go to everybody's house and steal, he may run out of the house out of that fear. Today I have to teach him a lesson, and if needed I also have to tie him up, because if I chastise him so much, he may run away from the house. So she is now chasing, and Krishna is starting to run, and that Lord who cannot be caught by anyone, who can travel faster than the mind and the wind, who the yogis try to attain the feet of the Lord after many, many years of austerities, that Lord who is thinking, oh, who can catch me? And so he is running, and to his surprise, as Prabhupada says, devotees can not only go to the spiritual world, but they can also see and have various engagements with the Lord. So Mother Yashoda also surprises the Lord by carrying a stick and chasing after him. So Krishna is surprised to see such a form of Mother Yashoda, angry and trying to correct him. So from the point of correction, she has a lot of good intention to correct Krishna and bring him and serve him. So still the correction is done from the point of view of serving him. As a mother, she has got a role to play, and she is doing it as part of the service, the correction. And that is done with a lot of love. Now, here is when Mother Yashoda is gradually moving to a situation where she decides that Krishna must be bound today because he's done so much of mischief. From beating, she is now moving to binding the Lord. And that's when this transcendental competition between the Lord and his devotee begins. Oh, you want to tie me? Tie me if you can. So here is where Mother Yashoda is going to enter an unfavorable circumstance gradually. So she has found a martyr, here is Krishna, and she has got a rope. And Krishna is resolved that I will not reciprocate, I will not budge to your attempt to bind me. So Mother Yashoda starts with one rope, falls short of two fingers, takes another rope, again falls short of two fingers, like that. She keeps on trying. Now, meanwhile, the tension is building up. She is not able to bind, there is no reciprocation from the Lord. Then the fellow Brajavasis, the women, they come, hey, why don't you give up? It's good that you can't bind your son. He is all powerful. So why don't you give up? So if you see that the unfavorable circumstances are growing further and further, and she is perspiring, at that time Mother Yashoda takes a resolution that no matter what happens, even if it takes me the whole evening, and even if I use up the entire ropes in this whole village, I am going to tie my son. Let me see what it takes to bind my son. So the unfavorable circumstances does not deter Mother Yashoda from her service, which is to bind Krishna. So that's when we step back and look at it, Mother Yashoda is not like a fair weather devotee. When the circumstances are favorable, as we discussed earlier, she was determined, she was focused. Now, the circumstances are unfavorable, she does not give it up. She actually perseveres. And that's when the Lord has got various potencies. The potency of fulfilling all the desires that he has. I think it's called Satya Sankalpa Shakti, if I'm not wrong. So he has got various energies, and they are acting. When he is seeing that his mother, the flowers from his from her hair, they're falling, she's perspiring, she's sweating, and she's putting a lot of parishrama. At that time, the mercy potency of the Lord descends in him. And the mercy energy of the Lord Vibhuti Shakti, which is the power of showing his opulence inspired by the Satya Sankalpa Shakti, so those potencies are overcome by the mercy aspect of the Lord, seeing the nishta, bhakta nishta, which is the consistent effort and the parishrama that they putting in. So this mercy is supposed to be like the king of all the energies of the Lord or the potencies of the Lord. So that when that descended in the Lord's, his heart melted, and that's when he decided to get bound by a rope which is of this material world, although he himself is beyond this material world. The effort and the fatigue of the service and the worship, that bhakta nishtha gave rise to the Lord's mercy. So Lord also has got a quality called swanishtha, which is he is steady. But then when the mercy aspect descended, he agreed, allowed himself to be bound. So as long as there is no intense endeavor, parishrama, from the Lord, which is a one finger from our side, and then the kripa of the parishrama from our side and kripa from the Lord, then we won't be successful. It's very similar to the Bhagavad Gita verse, adhishtanam tata karta karanam cha pritak vidam vividascha pritak tesha daivam chaivarta panchamam. So success will happen when you have your body in place, you have your senses in place, and you have the your various endeavors that you do. Then the Atma is there, the soul asset should be there, which is very similar to what we are reading in Puranjana's story, where he is getting attracted to this lady who is figuratively represents intelligence. So in that Bhagavad Gita verse, Krishna explains that these four factors are with you, but the fifth factor, Daiva, is with me. So, guidance, super soul. So there are so many books, How to Become a Millionaire, How to Become a Billionaire, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So have everybody become a millionaire? Because the same knowledge is available. So the Daiva aspect varies from person to person. And by the mercy of Acharya like Srila Prabhupada, we are engaged in devotional service, various engagements where we are the creative energy inside us is brought out and channeled in a positive way. So when that creative energy is used in a positive way in various engagements, what you are ultimately doing is you are uniting Krishna's energy, which is Mother Lakshmi. We are uniting Lakshmi and Narayan. We are uniting Sita and Ram. We are uniting Radha and Krishna. Instead of being in the mood of Ravana, who is mentioned in this purport, trying to enjoy Mother Sita separately, we know the Lord and His energy, and where the energy must be engaged with the energetic, and we participate, cooperate in this effort to bring in that union. Thereby we also experience pleasure, and that pleasure is on a spiritual platform, and that spiritual pleasure is what will satisfy the senses, the mind, purify the intelligence, spiritualize it. So the way it works is spiritual knowledge will purify the intelligence, make that into spiritual intelligence, and through that spiritual intelligence you try to guide your mind and senses to go in the proper direction. coming back to this pastime of Mother Yashoda binding the Lord, she did not only desire, she put the endeavor and all the planning, all that went in, and whether it is in a favorable circumstance or in an unfavorable circumstance, and because she was pleasing the Lord, the Lord's mercy, she brought that mercy aspect, she draw that kind of emotion from the Lord. And finally, she was able to bind him out of love. So it's not enough for us just to have desires without any action or plan. A plan without an action will just remain as an imagination. And acting without plan will just be a nightmare. You just run here and down. We should not mistake movements to be we are doing so many things, we should not mistake movements to be progress in life. We could be sitting and chanting in one place where there is not much movement involved, but still we are progressing. Whereas we could be doing thousands of activities, saying, making so many movements without the proper consciousness or attitude, we can't be progressing much. So we have to desire, and desires have to be spiritual, approved and guided by the spiritual master. Then we roll up our sleeves. If the situation is favorable or unfavorable, fixed in the determination, could be endeavor. Then we should also be able to envision, where am I heading towards? These are my goals, spiritual goals. How am I going to achieve them? So that's where prayer also helps, plays a crucial role, because we are devotees of the Lord, we pray to the Lord. That's a crucial step. We desire, we endeavor, we envision, and we also pray. That is throughout. Before doing the activity, and the activity itself is going to be offered to the Lord, and after that you become detached. So you show enthusiasm when you are endeavoring, and then you exhibit patience when you are expecting the results. By doing this, you can enjoy the spiritual pleasure by uniting the Lord's energy back to Him. That way, Goddess of Fortune will be united with Lord Vishnu, and we are also playing a role in that. So that is how you experience the real illumination in your life, which is what today is about, illuminating your life through lights. The festival of Diwali, which is celebrated, and on this day, this pastime happened. So thereby we get the satisfaction of our own senses, and we can also enjoy the process. So we go over time, we conclude here. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.